So there's some things that we should do that we just don't do frequently enough. I don't marvel enough at the fact that God is with me, that His presence is with me constantly. Now I'll say it, now I'll remember it, and I'll acknowledge it. But to marvel at it, God is with me always. Whatever I need in that moment, in any moment, to walk in freedom, He's there. Whatever I need in any moment of any day to walk in peace and joy and strength, He is there. Yeah. Marvel is the right word. Not just an acknowledgement, but to just be in awe of the fact that God is with us. And if we think about that, why do we walk in pride? Why do we walk in punishment where that we fail to receive the freedom that God's given us, and we either let the enemy punish us, or we want to punish others, or bondage. And I say we because I'm there. There's times that I'll remember, oh yeah, Lord, thank you that you're always with me. You know, you never leave me. But I'm like, okay, I'm in bondage right now. I'm walking in frustration or fear or worry or hurt or whatever it is. And I don't have to at this moment. And I don't have to wait till Sunday. Right now, I don't even have to call out because you're right here. Jesus, I need you. Jesus. I don't even have to say I need you. I can just call on His name, Jesus. When our oldest, Acacia, was just she was a toddler because she could talk, and she wasn't a baby anymore. Jordan was a baby, and Cadence wasn't born yet. Acacia called out and just said, Daddy. And I went to where she was, and she was just covered in blood, because she was throwing up blood. And I immediately picked her up and went into the shower, and I just didn't know what to do. And here I consider myself to be, you know, a man of prayer and a man of many words and learned words and, you know, fancy religious words. And at that moment, all I could say was, Jesus. Jesus. And I'm holding her. And I couldn't even think of words. Jesus. That's enough. That's enough. Jesus. See, if I want my circumstances to hear that, I say it loud. Jesus. I need to remind myself, I say it loud, but in that moment right there, it was Jesus. Just so you guys know, she'd had a bloody nose, and she kept snorting and swallowing, and it all went in her stomach, and she was fine. She just shouldn't have been doing that, because then it upset her stomach and it came out. Some days I feel more panic over my to-do list. Over the things where I'm falling short, of the things where I don't feel like I'm enough. I feel more panic than I do wonder over the humbling truth that God is with us, Emmanuel. God with us. Jesus promised to be with us always, but in the busyness of our lives, there's times we just box Him out. Any basketball players in the room, you know, just boxing them out. That's actually one of the first things that gave me an indication that Kara Johnston might be the woman I'm supposed to marry, because we were playing basketball, and I shot, and she boxed me out and threw an elbow. And I'm like, I love this woman. Who is this woman? This is awesome. She, you know, boxed me out, and that's what we do with God sometimes. We box Him out. We keep Him from those things that are tender or that are sensitive. And There's a passage, I read it all the time, and it's powerful. Revelation 3:20 says this, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." It's interesting, as I was preparing this morning and just kind of meditating on the word, the Lord gave me this picture. And it was Jesus standing at the door, knocking, saying, "If you open and let me in, I'll come in and I'll eat with you." And what's interesting is I saw this thing behind Jesus. I saw it filled up with a crock pot and snack and food. And I heard him say, "Hey, I brought your favorite meal. I brought your favorite snack. You don't have to do the cooking. I got you. Just open the door. Open the door and I'll do all the work." And then I heard him say this, "Go put on your comfies. Go put on your comfies. I got this." I thought, what a beautiful picture. Because I always imagine Jesus going, "If you open the door and come in, then I'll be with you and I'll eat with you." And I imagine I'm the one now that's got to do the cooking. I'm the one that's got to prepare the meal because I'm the host. It's my home, right? It's my door. I'm the one that's opening. I got to prepare the meal, right? And Jesus is like, "You got it wrong. I'm bringing the feast. Go put on your comfies. It'll be ready when you come out." And I heard the Lord speak that. He said, "Church, go put on your comfies. I've got this." And I'm like, "Lord, that's such a good word for the church." And sometimes I'm dense. And he said, "Mark, go put on your comfies. I've got this." So that's why I'm wearing this. None of this is new. I didn't buy an outfit for this illustrated message. I didn't have this illustrated points until this morning. These are my comfies. These are my slippers and my bare feet. And my incredibly baggy pants and my wonderful Christmas shirt that Kara hates. Hates this shirt. So much so that this is the first time I've wore it this season. Because I didn't want the look. I didn't want the look. Wreck the halls. He's green. He's Christmas. If Jesus knocked at the door of your heart today, what would you do? Would you ignore it? Would you hope he'd come back later? Would you say, "Jesus, I love you, and you know I love you, but now is not a good time"? Jesus, your timing couldn't be worse. I got news for you. He is standing at the door of our heart right now, knocking. And he knows that we are faced with a dilemma of whether or not to open that door, because he says, if you'll open the door, you got a choice. He says, "If you'll do it, I'll come in. But I'm not going to force my way in, and I'm not going to kick down the door. That's not me. You know that's not me. You have a choice." Can we all close our eyes for a second? So you got a choice. Can you think about the thing that's serving as a distraction between you and God's peace right now? Would you just acknowledge it? Acknowledge the thing or the things. And that's what he's saying. "Hey, if you'll open the door and let me come in, I'll take care of that for you." That's what my presence does. It takes care of things. I take care of things. For some of you, it's real easy. You can just say, "Yeah, Lord, I give this to you." As a matter of fact, you've probably already done it. But for others, this is really hard, and you're fighting them right now. And you like to win the fight. And so you're like, "Jesus, I'm not going to give this to you." He's like, oh, but if you will, it'll be so good. We can open our eyes. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. What's our response? Maybe you'd open the door, but you'd mutter these famous words. There's no room. There's no room for you here. You'd crack it. Hey, there's no room. We're full. Sorry. Best of luck in finding something. Let's read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. This is the beginnings of the most famous and popular Christmas scripture. And it's powerful. It's not just a Christmas scripture. It's a Christian scripture. Verse 1, now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for Joseph and Mary, the family of God. There was no room for Jesus himself. Friends, this isn't some insignificant footnote. In the story of the birth of our Savior, this is a dire warning. You will miss out on life-changing encounters with God if you don't make room for Jesus in your hearts. I'm going to say it again. You will miss out on life-changing encounters with God if you don't make room for Jesus in your hearts. Whether your hearts need to be quieted, stilled, cleansed, healed, or renewed, you can rest assured that Jesus knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. And he still loves us. He still adores us. Knowing it at all. Jesus will meet our needs as we draw near to him. So I'm asking you to join me in setting aside a few minutes today to make room for Jesus in your heart. When you invite him in, he will come. He wants your heart to be his dwelling place. That's amazing. That's amazing. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the captain of heaven's armies wants your heart to be his abode, his home, his dwelling place. Yeah, sometimes we're so caught up in working, serving our families, and just being so dang busy all the time that we neglect the most important thing, and that's making our hearts into a dwelling place for Jesus. So how do we make room for Jesus during our day? How do we make room for Jesus in our hearts right now? So here's what's interesting. I could preach this message, and I think a lot of preachers make this mistake, and I think I've made this mistake a lot of times. You preach a message that, like, it's very, in its ethereal sense, in the big picture, you're like, oh, that's good. I hear you, make room for Jesus. And we do so without getting into the mud and saying, okay, here's how we do it. Here's how we do it. Hey, what did the preacher preach on today? Oh, he talked about making room for Jesus, in our hearts. Man, it was a good message. Oh, I've never heard of that before. How did he do that? You make room for Jesus in our hearts. Yeah, I heard you. How do we do that? Today we're going to talk about it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. Acacia, can you hand me a tissue, please? So, I don't know how you guys make yourselves comfy. The Holy Spirit's called a comforter, but I didn't want to bring my comforter. But I did want to bring my old ratty blanket that's missing a ball somewhere. Maybe it's missed a couple balls, the fuzzy things. So, you can't have my blanket. But whatever you got to do right now to put your comfies on, I need you to do that. The Lord's asking you to do that. For me, I grabbed my pillow too, because I have a firm pillow that I put my head on, and then this is the pillow that I kind of hold when I sleep, and then Karen and I hold hands. We go to bed holding hands until Oki, our puppy, comes and puts her face right here, and then we're like, ah. So, yeah. I say get comfortable because we're going to take time today to do the things that the Lord's asking us to do. And you can say, go pound sand, I'm not doing that. You can say, that's lame, I'm not doing that. You can say, I'm not comfortable doing that. And if you say those things or anything kind of like it, you're missing out. Because God wants this to be a specific message to a specific person, and that person is every one of us. Here's some ways we can make room for Jesus. Number one, quiet your heart. Quiet your heart. Taking just a few minutes to be quiet and focus on our Savior can change the entire landscape of our hearts during a stressful day. I've said it before, and there's no way I can be the only one. Man, every office, workplace in the world, well, I don't know about the world, in America, has provided you a place to get away if you need to for a couple minutes. It's called a bathroom. I can't tell you how many times, like, over the years, I've slipped into the bathroom to have a, and I'm not to go to the bathroom, but you can multitask. I'm not saying you can't multitask. You can multitask. But if you just need to get away and turn on water, and even like stick your hands in the water, and Lord, I'm just taking a moment right now to get away. This is all I got. This is all I got. And I don't want to be at my desk because I'll be disrupted. But Lord, what do you have for me right now in this moment? I just acknowledge you are here with me. And to be still for a moment. You guys, whether it's in the workplace or in the home or with the kids or stuck in traffic or at that chaotic store with those desperate people for that one insignificant gift that they've got to add to their cart. Man, we are all in need of stilling our hearts. Psalm 46:10 says this, be still. Can we all say that? Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and remember and convince yourself that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take 60 seconds. We're going to make room for God by doing this. We're going to be still. We're going to focus on Him. And we're going to remind ourselves that He's really big. Bigger than your problem. Bigger than any sickness. Bigger than that hurt. Bigger than that betrayal. Bigger than that past. He's really big. Really mighty and really gracious. And here's the beautiful thing. You can pray, but in this one we're doing right now, you don't have to pray. Just be still. Or you can just call on his name and say, Jesus. Jesus. All right, you ready? Seconds. Isn't it ridiculous that the enemy tries to con us and deceive us that we don't have freaking 60 seconds? I get mad. I'm like, because I hate being a chump. I hate being a chump. I hate being duped. I'm duped all the time because the enemy tries to tell us we don't have time. That takes 60 seconds and be still before the Lord. And in this 60 seconds, I said things like, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I trust you because you're bigger. And Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I trust you because you're my God. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I trust you because you're the lover of my soul. I don't know what you said, but man, wasn't that 60 seconds good? How do we make room for Jesus? Number two, I love number two. You're going to love number two. Come clean. Come clean. Especially in the holiday season, we face the pressure of trying to do it all. We try and spend quality time with our families, and we try and succeed at work, and succeed in the house, and clean the house, and decorate the house wonderfully, and with all the holiday accents and colors, and we try and cook good meals and healthy meals, and we try and be generous and all the stuff. And these things bring joy. I'm not poo-pooing these things, but when we try and do everything and we don't pause to invite the Lord into these moments, they can get heavy. When we carry these heavy things, we start to stress out. And when we stress out, we start to get chippy. How many of y'all are like, just be honest, how many of y'all are like, I get chippy. Man, thank you for like the four people who acknowledged that. Like, I know there's some chippy people with the little snark. Maybe you know what is snarky. You get snarky. You get chippy. Maybe you have other words for it. Man, those, what is it? Persnickety. What a weird word. Persnickety, but it fits. So Jesus lays it out there for us. He says, hey, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. He says that in John 10:10. I think in this season, when God wants us to be full of joy and full of rest and full of peace, what the enemy wants is us at each other's throat, nagging each other and being persnickety and catty. And then we find ourselves going, oh, yeah, that little comment, that one crossed the line, that one was a dig. That one, I could tell by the response of this person I love, that wounded them. Nothing frees our hearts and makes room for God's presence like taking a moment to humble ourselves, confess our sins, and repent. Man, if we don't love this, friends, we better start loving this. It is one of the most beautiful things God's given us. The ability to confess our sins to Him. He knows. He knows. But He wants us to confess our sins. The Bible even says, confess your sins one to another so that you might be whole. And I'm talking about right now, just with God. Lord, I confess, Lord, that last comment that crossed the line, Lord, that I don't know what to do because now I've wounded that person I love. I've hurt their feelings. Lord, I confess. I knew it too. I had to win that argument. I had to get that. I had to lob that one out there. Confess and then repent. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I know that is not your heart. I know that is not. I did it out of pride and I did it out of anger and competition, whatever it is, Lord, but I repent. Lord, I changed my mind, and Lord, I just need you to change my heart. And we take a minute to confess our sin, repent of our sin, and then be open to whatever His next action is that's going to bring life. Because that's what He does. He brings life out of death. It always involves us humbling ourselves. Just so you guys know, be ready to humble yourself, which is not a bad thing either. Hey, my bad. I mean, if it's Andy that I've heard, dude, my bad. That I was thoughtless, and I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. It was stupid. I have no excuse. I'm sorry. And that's beautiful. Good golly. Now, with my wife, it's got to be much more gentle than that. It's got to be, you know, baby, and, you know, and I've got to go into a little bit more detail. But it brings freedom. Humbling ourselves brings freedom. Psalm 51, 9 through 12 says this, hide your face from my sins. Lord, don't look at my sins. Lord, I don't want to be reminded of my sins. And blot out all my iniquities. That's our sins. That's our shame. And then this right here, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. If I can just pause right here, friends. You can't clean your heart. You can change your mind and ask God to clean your heart. The work of cleaning your heart and changing your heart and giving you a new heart, that is a spiritual work that you can't do. What you can do is change your mind and then in humility say, Lord, whatever you say next, I'll do. Lord, whatever you say next, I'll do. Because He wants to clean our hearts and to change our hearts. It's so awesome. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold with me a willing spirit, a right spirit. Okay, so again, we're going to take 60 seconds to do this. Do it quietly. I'm not saying you got to confess your sins one to another at this moment. Baby steps. But we're going to take 60 seconds. And gosh, I'm going to say this. It could be offensive. It's probably not offensive, but it could be offensive. It's a risk I'm willing to take. If you refuse to do this right now, you're a fool. You're foolish if you refuse to do this right now because of something that you feel that's going to prevent you from doing this. Man, this is freedom. And this is making room in our hearts. So don't be foolish. You guys with me? Yeah. We're going to take 60 seconds to make room for God. Quietly confess our sins. Quietly repent of your sins. And ask God to cleanse you. Oh, think just for a second, think about when your face is gritty or your hands are gritty and all you want is to get them clean and get that grittiness off. That's what the Lord wants to do right now in this moment for our hearts. 60 seconds to make room for God, quietly confess and repent of your sins and ask God to cleanse you. God, you're so good. Number three, invite your Savior to come in. Come in, Jesus. I'm going to knock four times. And then I want us all to say, come in, Jesus. Just trust me. Come in, Jesus. Invitation matters. Invitation matters. If you show up at my house, there's a knock on the door, I see it's you, I'm going to open the door and I'm going to say, come in. If a salesperson shows up and the rare occurrence that I open the door, I'm going to step out and close it behind me. Hey, what's going on? And I'm not going to be like sweet Mark Melly. What's up? What's up? Like, hey, you got 10 seconds, man. I'm cooking. I'm watching a meaningless commercial. What's up? That invitation matters. One of the most intriguing miracles of the New Testament is Jesus making his home in our hearts. What if we get intentional about opening the door of our heart? What if we expect that he's coming? If I know that Jacob and Brittany are coming over, I'm expecting them. Man, I'm ready. Every time my doorbell app, you know, chimes, you know, the Google Home, I'm like, oh, is that them? Oh, no. Man, I'm expecting it. Oh, it's them. I see them pull up. You know, I go out there and I'll greet them. I'll go outside the front door. Hey, what's up? Come on in. Let's go. How are you doing? Hug right here. We're not even going to wait till we get inside. Oh. Do we not know that Jesus wants to be with us? Are we not expecting him to show up and do what he wants to do? Let's anticipate him. Draw near to him for fellowship in daily activities. Man, I'm a graphic designer. That's what my degree was in. That's my trade. There's certain designs I'm like, Lord, I need your help. I've hit a wall. I've hit a wall. I need your help. I invite you to be the creative one in this and help me. Invite him into your work and trust he'll give you the wisdom you need. Lord, thank you that you've made me pretty smart. I'm pretty smart. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate it. You're smarter. You're brilliant. You're brilliant. So I've tried. Would you fix this for me, Lord? I'm serious. I'm totally serious. I can't tell you how many problems have been fixed because I acknowledged him as being the brilliant one and asked him to fix. Open the door of your home to Jesus and make him the center of your family. By praying together as a family, by praying together often, by talking about your faith with your family, by talking about a really cool scripture you just read with your family, your friends, your spouse, your kids, even your pets. And I've told my dogs, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He loves you and you're awesome. And I love you. I tell my dogs all the time that Jesus loves them. He does. Sometimes they get the sermon before you do. So Ephesians 3:17 says this, then Christ will make his home where? In your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So when the Bible talks about the heart, here's what it's not talking about, the organ with the chambers. Okay, that's not what he's talking about. The heart is defined scripturally as the command center of who you are. It's everything from here to here, right? It's your brain, it's your thoughts, it's your heart. It's the command center. It's the decision maker, whether you're making it, you know, from the gut or from the heart or with intellect or whatever. It's this. This is where he lives. This is where he wants to make his home. If only there was something we could do right now for 60 seconds. We're going to make room. We're going to ask Jesus to come closer. Come close. Come closer. Come closer. I want you closer. And we're going to invite him to show himself to us. And do we think that God is so one-dimensional that there's not a million, billion facets to him that we've never even seen? I just want to see a facet of God's goodness that I've never seen before. Lord, just shine in such a way that I'm getting just a facet of your love and your grace that I've never experienced before. That's what I want. Invite him into an area of your life that you've never invited him into before. Is there an area that you've never invited him in? Lord, I need you at my work, but Lord, I don't need you in my marriage. I got that taken care of. Lord, I need you in my marriage, but I don't need you in my parenting. Lord, that's none of your business. Lord, I need you in my parenting, but I don't need you in my... Invite him into an area that you've never intentionally invited him into. And that could be a hurt. That could be a memory. That could be an experience. As we're doing that, here's what I recommend. The first area that pops into your head, say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm trusting that's you. I'm going to invite you into that. And then pray, telling Jesus that you make him the center of your entire life. It's a long one. Got it? Let's go. I know this isn't the traditional Christmas message. I had words with the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I want like a traditional Christmas message today. And he's like, this is just maybe not your tradition, Mark, but it's mine. Gift giving is definitely a Christmas tradition, yeah? And I firmly believe that's what the Lord's doing right now. He's given us gifts that we get to leave this place with, that we get to take with us, that we get to apply. And the theme of making room, that there not being room for Mary and Joseph and soon-to-be baby Jesus at the end, that's a traditional Christmas message. But friends, we need to be on guard as well. Have we made room for him in our hearts? And so today, that's what we're doing. Number four, ask God to heal your broken places. Ask God to heal your broken places. The challenges of life, the hurts, the disappointments, they're heavy. And we carry them, but we don't always carry them to the cross. We just carry them. We just drag them around with us, and they're heavy, and they stay heavy, and they get compounded, and they get compounded, and next thing you know, that's our new foundation. That's what's under our feet, this new foundation of compounded heaviness, and it's no longer Christ, our solid foundation. It's a shaky, unstable foundation of hurts and offenses and wounds and disappointments and failures and all the stuff. I just have a few bullet points. If you're struggling through prolonged singleness, divorce, a dysfunctional family, the loss of a loved one, or a betrayal, God sees you, my friend. He sees you. He knows. But he still wants to be invited into it. He still wants to be asked to be the fixer, to be the healer. He longs to show himself close to you. God is waiting right now for you to pour out your heart and tell him how you feel. Here's a promise we can count on. Psalm 34:17-18. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Out of how many of their troubles? Out of four of their troubles. Pick wisely, my friends. Out of four, out of all of our troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And here's what's beautiful. That him being able to, you know, call us the brokenhearted is because we've said, Lord, my heart is broken. He's like, oh, the brokenhearted, but I'm not going to leave you that way. But in that moment, I'm coming close to the brokenhearted. And then when he heals our heart and brings redemption to those tough things, then he has a different name for us. Those are usually the names that we sometimes give ourselves. 60 seconds to make room for God, to ask him to heal the broken places of your heart. You guys, this is just the start. Okay, I mean, 60 seconds is not enough. I'm hoping to just take this gift and say, okay, this is my starting place. 60 seconds to ask him to heal the broken places of your heart. You guys doing okay? How you feeling? Mixed bag, right? Here's one thing that I can bring to you right now is our God is good and he's faithful. And even if this is stirring up some things, we're inviting the right person to be the fixer and the healer. We're inviting the right person to draw closer. No, God, closer. No, God, closer. God, I don't even want to feel me right now. I only want to feel you closer. I promise you, he will never fail. Last one. Ask God to renew your heart. You might be dragging around a weary heart. Weary from the endless activities, from the heaviness of life, from valid responsibilities that are still heavy. But you might be dragging around an exhausted heart. Maybe this year has drained you. There's a zillion reasons why this year could have drained you. There's a million activities and things that have just emptied us at different places. So we're going to stop for a few minutes with the shepherd of your soul. We're going to ask him to renew. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. Can I stop right there? He's not a shepherd. Hold on, hear me. He's not a shepherd. Who is he? Who is he? He is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. He knows my name. He knows my needs. He knows my backstory. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me behind the still waters. I want to lay down in green pastures. That sounds so nice. I want to be led beside still waters. Oh, that sounds amazing. But not as amazing as this. What does he do? He restores my soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions. That's what's described as our soul. It's this collaborate. It's our mind, our will, and our emotions. I need my mind restored. I need my will restored. I need my emotions restored. I need my soul restored. So we're going to take 60 seconds and we're going to ask your shepherd. The shepherd of your soul. To renew your heart. Jesus knocked on the door of your heart today. And I believe that every one of us opened that door and said, come on. I know we've taken inventory of a lot of things. We've taken inventory of our hurts and our brokenness and our will and a lot of things. And God cares about all of those things. Can you guys stand with me? On the night of Jesus' birth, there was no room for him in the inn. But today we've made room for Jesus by asking our loving and our mighty King to clear some things out. And that's what we've done. Sometimes we're just so crammed and cluttered that we just need to clear some things out so there's room for the good stuff. And he is the good stuff. He brings the good stuff. Don't get me wrong. He gives the good stuff for sure. But he is the good stuff. See, he doesn't just heal. He is the healer. He doesn't just save. He's the savior. He doesn't just deliver as an action. He's the deliverer. As we did this today, I want you guys to know God was thrilled to do it. Thrilled to come in. Thrilled to be with you. Thrilled to draw closer. Thrilled to demonstrate his power. Thrilled to bring his peace. Thrilled to restore hope. Thrilled to do it. Chomping at the bit, just waiting, going, I've been waiting for this. And friends, as we leave this place, he's right there going, all right, what's next? What's next? What will you trust me with next? Because I will show my faithfulness, whatever you'll trust me with. You're not a bother to him. In fact, he finds you like so adorable and irresistible and lovable. You're his. He always has time for you. He's always present. And he's always the answer. I said it earlier and I'm going to say it again. Don't miss out on life-changing encounters with God. Always make room for Jesus in your hearts. We're just going to worship for a minute. And I want to give you this additional, not just 60 seconds, but just a little bit to just receive whatever the Lord has for us. And then we'll pray, we'll bless, we'll be done for the day. But maybe the Lord just needs a little bit extra time to do what he's been doing today. So let's just let him have a moment further. We just invite you into every part, every place. And we just declare we need you in every part. We need you in every place of our hearts. Lord, we say the words that to some it might be obvious, but Lord, we want you to hear them. We make room for you. We have room for you. We need you. We want you. We invite you. And we celebrate you. If you need prayer, I know we already had prayer. We can do prayer twice or three times or whatever. If you need prayer, we'd like to pray for you again. And there'll be people right up here. So prayer warriors, if you want to pray for folks, come on up. And if you need prayer, then come on up. Because maybe some things that were kind of uncovered today, you just need a little bit more prayer. And you prayed for yourself, but now you just want a brother or a sister to pray with you. We'd love to do that. So come on up as soon as the service is over. Tuesday is going to be awesome. I hope to see you here. Sit closer to the front, wherever, whatever row you're comfortable with. Row up. Come up a row so that guests can get the comfortable seats of kind of, you know, being in the back. And come early because we're going to fill this place out. Actually, we're getting chairs down because we're going to have even more chairs in this place. It's going to be a packed house. It's going to be awesome. So we invite you to come join us. Love you guys. Merry Christmas. I'll leave us with this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Have an amazing day. We'll see you on Tuesday. And if you need prayer, come on up.